Good morning. My name is Linda, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, everybody. And I'm happy to be here on this beautiful day at 118 pounds instead of 225 pounds, which I was when I came into these rooms 21 years and 6 months ago, across the hall from where I am right now. It's been an amazing journey, and I can't believe the changes in my life. Things have happened, but I've lost 120 pounds. I've kept it off, and I'm one of the fortunate ones, if you want to say that, that I've had back-to-back abstinence. I was 44 when I came in. I'm 65 now. When I heard at that first meeting, which was a big meeting, I was lucky to hear many, many people come speak time, you know, every 5 minutes, that this was a disease, and people were addicted to sugar and flour, just like an alcoholic puts a drink in, they couldn't stop, and that clicked. I was very happy to hear I had a disease. Because all my life, my mother would say, get away from the table, you eat like a truck driver, you have a hollow leg, you're going to look like your father, who was a big man. I just didn't know how to not eat. If I saw it, I had to make it gone. If there were two, I ate two. If there were 10, I ate 10. But I listened that day. And the reason I came, my daughter is a nurse, and she's worked in addiction for, well, now it's 27 years, but she worked at a local hospital that was one of the first hospitals that recognized food addiction. They did drugs, they did alcohol, but the patients there were given 3 meals a day with no sugar, no flour. And in the early days, 19 years ago, we used to go to the hospital and bring patients to this Sunday meeting, and I just learned so much. She brought me to my first meeting, and at the end of the meeting, she said, what do you think? And I identified with the man that got up that had weighed over 400 pounds, that was losing weight. It was his weigh-in day, and he said his wife was laughing at him because he was moving the scale all over the house. And that's what I identified with. I broke wind, I got on the scale. I went to the bathroom, I got on the scale. I ate, I got on. I didn't eat, I got on. That thing just ruled my life. And if I had gained weight, I ate. What the heck? If I lost weight, I ate. Oh, good, I know how to do it now. And after the meeting, she asked me what I thought. And I really did say this. I feel like I'm home. I know the answer, but I don't know what I'm going to do about this God thing. And she said, I knew you'd say that. But she said, just get on your knees and talk to the FICA bush. Just do it. And I went home that day. My husband was in Florida fishing. Went home that day and had an abstinent meal. And he called the next day. And I said, wait till you come home. I am so nice. And he said, well, I'll talk to you later. I don't know what that means. But just having the answer, and I know the drugs, quote, weren't out of my system at that time, but I just felt wonderful with 3 weigh-to-measure meals under my belt. That I was in control. I just knew it was going to work. And I called when I was at that meeting. My daughter had come to the house to take me, and she had had two people with her. And she introduced me to one, and she introduced me to a pretty little blonde. Well, she wasn't really little yet, but she, and the blonde said, I understand we've met. And I said, gee, I'm sorry, I don't remember. But one night when I went to the hospital to give my daughter something, she was in the emergency room tending to a patient that was in restraints. in the emergency room who had sliced her wrist, and she had lipstick all over. She had painted herself with lipstick and very obese. And she said, I understand you saw me in the emergency room when I came in, and your daughter wanted me to come to show what not eating sugar and flour and weighing and measuring and working this program can do to a for a person. And I got in the car and I went to that meeting, and that changed my life. And I grew up in a town near here. I worked in a luncheonette across from the high school, and I was there every morning at 5 o'clock. I was afraid of my mother, I think. I was out of the house by 5. I was at that restaurant, quote, setting up, giving all the workmen their coffee and their breakfasts. But what I ate before I went to school, to me, proved why I was just drugged. Like when I wasn't a good student, I could care less. And I would run across the street and grab something to eat whenever I could. And I married right out of high school at 17 years old, and I didn't have to get married, and I only say that because I just did it because I was stupid. I had no reason. It was a crazy thing to do. I wanted to get out of the house, and I just jumped into more trouble. But I had 2 children, and my father came up and visited one day, and there was some abuse evident on my face. So he called my mother and said, I'm bringing Linda and the 2 children home. And she wasn't too happy, but she accepted my kids with open arms. And now I know, and I'm not one for saying this, but that was God working in my life, because my kids were well taken care of. My father sent them to off to school so my mother wouldn't have them constantly. And I got a job at Mount Auburn Hospital in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And there I had 8 or 9 doctors. They could see me go, I could die at then in my 20s, but they'd see me go from maybe 130 up to 180 and back. And I had quite a few of them that would write me prescriptions for Bifetamin 20s, which are really black, street black beauties. And I took 2 or 3 a day. And my mother never questioned it, because I cleaned. One night I was out cleaning the house with a brush in the dark outside, you know, because I had done everything inside. And that kept me under 200, I'll say. But that was for 16 years. If I didn't get those, I got something out of the Zayas or the drugstore. I couldn't control it. And I wanted to be thin more than anything, more than finding a new husband, more than having my kids healthy. I just wanted to be thin. And I couldn't do it until I came in here and heard the answer and heard what people were doing. But my husband came home from the fishing trip, and for many, many years, he would come to meetings with me. He knew all the ladies by name. There were not too many men back in those days. And if he didn't go, he'd say, oh, how's so-and-so? Did she, you know, I believe in anonymity, but a lot of people came to the house. I sponsored many people, and they would come to the house, and you know, it'd be 8:45, he'd say, where's so-and-so? She's late. But that was my life. I couldn't hide it from him. And I did, OA got a little bit first. And I know it's program, family, job. But I had to learn that it wasn't just all about me. I had to include him. I'd come home and he'd say, how was the meeting? And I'd say, all right. My meeting, you know, instead of just, but I learned over the years, my sponsor would say, you know, he doesn't deserve to be treated like that. And before, I don't even know why he married me. And I've been married 3 times. And the only reason that marriage lasted is because of program. I have no doubt in my mind, because I would say, I used to work in the OR here, and after, at 3 o'clock, we all went out. And he, when I'd come home, and I, you know, of course I ate to excess, I drank to excess, I smoked to excess, I'm an addict. He'd say, just call me, Linda, so I don't worry. And I said, you know, if you don't like what I do, I'll just go back to George Road. That was my second husband in Quincy. I just wasn't, and this was the nicest man, the people in this room that know him, knew him. And he stuck by there. So, of course, he was very supportive because he could see the change. And he had seen the change in my daughter because she was abstinent a year before me. And it took her a year to convince me to come. At one of my, I never went to diet clubs because I never could afford it. But one of the doctors I worked for told me, he said, just eat a little protein, a little vegetable. So my little vegetable turned into be buckets of butternut squash. He would go into the Chelsea market and come home with these wooden crates, put on rubber gloves and peel them and have a bucket, like a spaghetti bucket, steaming when I came in. And I would sit on the floor watching TV with a spoon and a thing of Betty Butterbuds or whatever the hell they were and just eat them. My nose was orange, my pool was orange, my hands were orange. I brought them to work. I'd take two of them and put them in the microwave, but it filled me up. I never really got full. And my daughter said, you know, that's sick, Ma. It took her a year. And my husband had said, you know, she's changing. Something's happening. And I couldn't see it. I would have an extra 20, and I'd say, let's go get some such and such food. And she'd say, I'm weighing and measuring. And I never asked what that meant. I would go off by myself and spend the $20. So all along the road, I've been pushed. Higher power, whatever you want to call it, has taught me that this is the only way for an addict. And I believe there's three types of people: addicts, non-addicts, and recovering addicts. And I want to be on that road to recovery. 5 years ago, my husband and I both were diagnosed with cancer, me before him, and he sat through me with all the chemo, and it was the first time in all those years that I had cravings. And you know what I craved? But they told me why, because of the blood work. I ate my protein was lobster. I just had to have, I guess it was the iodine, they said. But I weighed and measured 3 meals a day, no matter how sick I was. And there was something else that I wanted some kind of comfort food. And I kept saying, maybe tomorrow. And it wasn't the thought like, I'm going to die. Let me eat now, because I used to think if the plane was going down, I'd ask for such and such. But I don't feel like that anymore. And then he was diagnosed, and he didn't make it. He only lived 3.5 months with his pancreatic cancer. Of course, is the worst. But even now, I realize how into myself I am, because he said to me, you know, Linda, I think I'm going to croak. I can't breathe. I said, well, you go to the emergency room, and I'll go to work because I work at the hospital, and I'll come down and see you. I mean, I didn't even drive him to the hospital. It was so important. I have to get to work. Then I did realize how serious it was. But near the end, when hospice was called, they said to me, what can we do? Is there anything you specify? And I said, yeah, I need somebody here at supper time to feed him because I go to work from 4 to midnight. And they just said, you're not going to work. You're the caretaker. You know, that never dawned on me. I have to stay home and take care of him, which I did. And they said I did a good job. But if I wasn't abstinent, that wouldn't have happened. I have very little guilt about my marriage and, you know, being a decent wife. The week before he died, he said to the doctor, can I forego my chemo? And the nurse said to him, oh, you and Linda are going to go away for the weekend? He said, no, I want to go fishing. And that kind of hurt, but then we laughed about it. But he said to my daughter, take care of your mother. She thinks she can do it herself, but she can't. So she took that to heart. We sold both our houses. We moved in together. And her first request, we bought a big house with an in-law apartment. It worked out well. But the first thing she said to me was, please help me get back to, you know, program or weighing and measuring. And she didn't look her best at that time. And she was probably over 200 pounds. Well, I know she was. I'm just afraid somebody might know who she is. And today she's a size 6. I take, you know, I do all our food, and it makes me feel good. I know I wouldn't be here or living in that situation if I was out there. I showed her, somebody sent me some pictures, before program pictures, and I should have thrown it away. There were 3 or 4 of them, and I saw one. She said, oh, I hated it when you looked like that. And I was, and it just brought it all back. So I'm pretty lucky to have my kids in my life who have done so well, and it's all thanks to the fellowship, weighing and measuring. I know it's just getting those drugs out of my system. And I will keep doing this. I still go to 3 committed meetings a week. I just don't go when I feel like it. I still write my food down every morning, and yeah, I might take the same thing to work every night. I don't care. It's written down, and it's not changed. The only little break, if you want to call it that, I give myself is if my daughter's not working on a certain weekend, I will, on Sunday night, I'll write abstinent dinner, because lots of times she'll call and say, let's go to dinner. And I really feel that's bonding time. Or I'm so glad she wants to be with me. So that's about it. I just can't say enough. I do get on my knees every morning. I believe in a higher power now. It's not that the Fika Bush died. It's gone. And I will keep doing this until hopefully I'm 85. Thank you very much.